Welcome to the CFB Dynasty Podcast with hosts Matt Knowles, Brian McElfrish, and Doug Gravely.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there in college fantasy football land? It's been a while. We're sure that you've missed our bright shining faces, especially Doug's bright shining face. We are ready to do this. It is now the start of the 2024 preseason, getting ready for the 2024 college fantasy football season. BMAC, Doug, are you guys excited?
Oh, baby. In the words of BMAC, yes.
Yeah, it's fun to like, this is the hurdle before I can really work on my draft board, is getting all the research done, getting the depth charts finalized. Well, finalized, nothing's finalized actually. So it's ever because of the portal, etc. But yeah, really excited to get everything kind of, even saying the word solidified doesn't make sense, but you know, whatever, temporarily solidified till we start getting more information in, because the depth charts these days are just a living, breathing thing that serve as the basis for our ranking. So it's really important that our depth charts are up to date and accurate.
Basically, just getting in the car and getting on the interstate. It's that making, getting that thing where you started the car up, getting it out of the garage, getting on the road. That's basically what the show is today. The pathway that we take after this, who the heck knows, but at least we're on that journey.
Yeah. And ideally, we would have kept doing the pod every week, but really every bit of free time that I had to put into CFB, I wanted to put into the rankings. You know, normally we come out with our like teaser rankings this time of year, and we have nothing available for members that's extra. But now we've got like what will be the full rankings. It's still just kind of getting them finished before spring ball, like it's getting ready to start to kick off here. But normally we're like launching this stuff in June with the super deep rankings. But now they're ready and available, and that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so today on the show, we're going to be talking about the initial CFB Dynasty rankings for 2024 for QBs, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Just know that Doug and Brian have been slaving over the hot fantasy football stove to bring these rankings to you. So BMAC, you've been doing this now for 10 years. This is going to be the 10th year of CFB Dynasty. That's incredible. Crazy. It's incredible. Crazy. So have you ever seen a year that was as difficult as this year? This year, there has been over 2,000 people that put their name into the portal. That is an average of over 15 players, or right about 15 players per CFB, FBS school. The quality of players, the high-end players that are in the portal this year is unprecedented. Have you ever had a time that has felt more difficult to get these initial rankings out than this year?
So I haven't always maintained the depth charts, but yeah, it is nuts that it's going to be year 10. No, there's never been as difficult of a year, I don't think. Now I'm kind of in the rhythm with the portal, but it's still, there's so much going on, so much news. And then you've got the added confusion of, are seniors really seniors? Are they juniors, essentially, in terms of eligibility? Are they 6-year, 8-year seniors? Like, a lot of that stuff, that's the hardest part, is getting that information on players, like who's going to be, you know, South Alabama's wide receiver 4. Well, that's really hard to tell when they had 3 seniors that we don't know if they're coming back or not. Because obviously these guys, if they go into like the Hawaii Bowl or whatever, the Hula Bowl, whatever they
Hula
do.
Bowl, Hula Bowl, yeah. Bowl.
If they go to the combine, we know they're done with college football, but it's not everybody. So it's the small schools that are the hard part.
So Doug, when you look at your roster from last year, a championship roster, mind you, when you look at your roster from last year and you look at the players that you're like, I'm going to be able to ride with this guy at X school, and then you see what's happened in the portal, especially with quarterbacks, where people were talking about you needed to have at least $1 million to go get a good quarterback out of the portal. Mm-hmm. How does it make you feel about your roster? Do you feel confident about what's there? Are you like, man, it's going to be a crapshoot every year and I just have to rebuild every year? What's your thoughts on your personal roster?
Oh man. Well, the college platform, we talk about it, you know, we talked about it a lot last year, has changed so much. Part of me still believes once you're a good fantasy player, you're probably, most of them are going to remain a good fantasy player. You're going to have some drop off for sure, depending on where they go. It's just so different for us because, you know, we look at a guy and we're like, okay, this guy's going to be good in the pros too, hopefully. So I enter on the side of caution for a lot of things, especially small school guys. We're like, oh man, they went off, but then they go to say Texas and you're like, well, that's not good. Now they're wide receiver 7. So yeah, man, it's tough. But all in all, I like to think that once they've proven themselves, it's easier for them to prove themselves again. And they're going to a school in my mind that wants them, so they're going to try to feature them in some way.
And we'll see. Like at quarterback, we know it's those 5th, 6th year seniors that just have such an advantage now, where you can have a Michael Penix who was a nothing really until he went to Washington, and a Bo Nix who was nothing, or it's just a total disappointment till he left Auburn and went to Oregon. And so we're going to have some of those, and knowing that is part of the projections. That's part of going into the data. It's part of us like looking at offensive coordinators that might have changed and how they might use receivers or favor different types of receivers. There's a lot that goes into the rankings, and it's a totally different foundation, whereas it might look similar to what we delivered last year. There's a lot of data that kind of backs what we're going or what the result is going to be now.
And one of the interesting things that we're going to get to in just a second when we start taking a look at these rankings, one of the things that these rankings mirror are some of the things we talked about in the regular season, where there's so much movement on the quarterback side. Quarterbacks are all over the place. But then you go to running backs and you go to wide receivers and you go to tight ends, and you still see a lot of names that we're familiar with from previous seasons. So it feels like the quarterback room initially has more unknowns and more people moving up and down the list than any other place. Is that what you saw when you were putting these rankings, or do you feel differently than that, BMAC?
As a percentage, yeah. I mean, there's obviously a mass amount of receivers. Some that, you know, were decimated, a couple, 2 or 3 starting receivers left in the portal. You can see like 5 new ones coming in. So it's going to be difficult to accurately project that stuff, but it's going to be, you know, every ounce of data that we can point to, we will use until we start getting actual news. But yeah, as a percentage, quarterbacks, certainly there's a lot of movement there. And kind of going back to the point of before, is like people that were kind of disappointing and then going to a new school and kind of taking off. Well, like Tyler Shuck might be one that just takes off this year. He's never even had more than 1,600 passing yards in a season. He went from Oregon to Texas Tech, and now he's Jeff Brohm's quarterback at Louisville. And then they brought in Penny Boone, Don Chaney from the portal. At receiver, they got Colin Lacey from the portal, Ja'Cory Brooks from Alabama in the portal. Like, they're just a portal team, so it's going to be hard to know what they have done. However, looking at the 3-year average of what Jeff Brohm's offense has put out, they've got some big opportunities to be fantasy relevant. But that's just one example of a team that is completely different year over year.
Well, why don't we just get right down to it, BMAC? Why don't we pull up the initial rankings for quarterbacks that you have right now for the 2024 preseason? Again, this is us getting in the car, getting that journey started, knowing that this is going to be a long path as the preseason goes on and they build up towards drafts that are going to be happening 4 to 5 months from now. So yeah, why don't you go ahead? Let's pull up these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'll do that. And here, let me share my screen. You'll see depth charts here for a sec. And foundationally, You know, as you guys interact with us, and we'll get the Discord fired up hopefully again sometime soon and start going back and forth there. But as you see, like the depth charts here, these are public. These are available. If you just go to Draft Prep depth charts, we have our depth charts here that are the foundation of everything. So you'll see some blank spots where we don't know who's who, and we haven't gone through every single position of every single team quite yet. So more to come there. But as we get into the rankings and we look at quarterbacks here in a sec, we've started with 3 years worth of data for the coach, the head coach of that team, so that we can have a good foundation knowing what's possible for their running back one, wide receiver one, wide receiver six, quarterback one, etc. And then Doug and I will go through and adjust based on what we know, based on information that we see, based on, you know, the coordinator hire, etc., or portal. So there's a lot that goes into it, and these are going to change like crazy over the course of the season, maybe not at the top. And so I've got those, some of them up on the screen now. And if you're new to CFB Dynasty rankings, fantasy point projections are totally new, but that's based on the 3 years of data. So we actually do have like passing yards, passing interceptions, passing touchdowns, all the rushing data, every single one of those with a 3 year average. And then we can alter or modify that with a modifier percentage up or down based on other information. So we could put that out here if people were interested in projected passing yards, interceptions, passing touchdowns, all the rushing data. And I'll get you guys' opinion if you would want to see that, or if you think that would be overkill. But of course, hit me up on Discord, YouTube, whatever, if you think that would be helpful. But we've got conference in here that's not completed yet. Bye week, you know, we don't have schedules finalized for everyone. A notes column and a year column. So those are will be completed way before we get to draft season, because we have a lot of people that, you know, maybe they just do a Big Ten plus Notre Dame league. And so, you know, this is something that you can download or alter it based on conference or based on team. And so that's all available to everyone so that it fits every type of league that's in there. But yeah, what do you think before we get into the actual ones? Would you think it would be beneficial or just kind of wasteful to put the actual projected, you know, yards and touchdowns and all that stuff in there?
I know me personally, I think that it'd be great to have it in there for multiple reasons. I think that that's hugely impactful because different leagues are going to score differently. There's going to be different, you know, you could be in a PPR league. You could be in a league that's got bonus scoring for touchdowns, or you could be in a league that's got decreased points for touchdowns, a 4-point touchdown league. And to be able to see what that say for Bynum Brown, what his 418.52 points was projected on. Yeah. Is it projected on 36 passing yards and or 36 passing touchdowns and 15 rushing touchdowns and limited yards passing? I think that the people out there would want to see that. No, I would too. What about you, Doug?
I'll add real quick before you answer, Doug, that we could and plan to, especially obviously for receivers and running backs because of PPR, have alternate rankings for 0, 0.5 point and 1 point PPR. Those are things we can do now easily now that we have this data.
Yeah, I mean, we can set it up like you were just talking about, BMAC. And again, it's adding a couple columns if we wanted to add passing yards and touchdowns and all that. I don't want to give, you know, too many crazy numbers to the eye, if that makes sense too. You know what I mean? Like to where you kind of lose track of where you're looking at. But for the most part, people are, I would think people would like to see what we think is going to happen. And it'd be cool to have that, you know, and see how accurate, you know, we really are, which I think it's going to be pretty close, so it should be fun.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Obviously, it's modified based on 3 years worth of data, so we'll see. But it should be as accurate as we've had it before, but it's just a different way of us kind of managing in the back end. So where do you want to start, Matt? How do you want to go through the list here? We just hit the top 15, and then we've got, you know, 50 plus available in there for anyone.
I think we don't even have to go down every single name. I just think that we can kind of take a look at, you know, first and foremost, you know, seeing a USF quarterback as the number one projected points getter out of the entire database. How do you think, why do you think that Byron Brown is the one that's at the top of the list now?
So again, we've put a lot of work into it. And we all know based off years of fantasy football experiences that quarterbacks that are dual threat are huge in fantasy. And honestly, I mean, this was a toss-up conversation between BMAC and I for probably about a week. Like, man, it kind of switched between Brown and Gabriel a couple times, to be honest with you. And then Salter kind of started working his way up there a little bit. And Finley, I'm like, it might not even be one of these guys because these other two guys are just as dynamic as they are on the fantasy front. So I think a lot of it for me is Byron Brown's in the same system. He's comfortable there, but man, he's dynamic with his legs. So
he's got his leading returning receiver, Sean Atkins. Dynamic with his legs is exactly right. Gabriel's intriguing to me because of the talent at receiver. Holy cow. Like Oregon in general is just so loaded at running back, great O-line. But with Evan Stewart, who I love as an NFL prospect, and then you got Tez out there as well, like great tight end also. They're just loaded at receiver. So it's going to be interesting with Gabriel just chucking it around how many points they can put up. I know they're both going to be drafted up, and I don't remember exactly where we have both of those receivers projected, but they're up there. They're up there in both in the top 30-ish. And there is debate on, you know, Tez versus Evan Stewart, who will be receiver one. I love Evan Stewart. I think he'll be it.
So something you talked about earlier with the 3 years of coach data that gets played into this, is TJ Finley somebody that you look at as being impacted by that? Is TJ Finley at four because of who he is, or is TJ Finley at four because of the fact that he is the quarterback at Western Kentucky?
I think it's both. He's dynamic. Again, another quarterback that's not afraid to try to run a 50-yard touchdown if he has to. But you've got to love a quarterback at Western Kentucky. I mean, it's plain and simple to me.
Yeah, and he proved it last year. Like, he put up 3,400 yards at Texas State. So now going over there to Western Kentucky, man. I think, pretty easily a top five fantasy prospect. Added his running ability, et cetera. But just the passing offense there is going to be wild. And we'll see who the new receivers are. Obviously, Corley is gone.
Corley's gone. My boy. All right. So again, just kind of skipping down through, we don't have to go through every single person. I think that 10 and 11 are probably two very intriguing people for very different reasons. So what do you guys think about Jordan McLeod going to Texas State?
He takes over for TJ Finley. You know, Finley put up 3,400 yards last year. Jordan McLeod put up a ton of yards. Let me get the right number. That's an offense. Texas State, I believe, let me make sure I'm not wrong before I say this out loud. Let's see. Texas State. G.J. Kinney.
Yes.
Formerly, like, early in CFB Dynasty, he was on my fantasy team, and yeah, he's gonna coach one of the top quarterbacks. So like, he's coming into a situation where he's gonna have, you know, he put up 3,600 yards and 35 touchdowns last year for James Madison, and gotta love what he's gonna do in Kinney, who played in that air raid-ish style offense for Tulsa back in the day. So you think, or you got to think, he's going to be throwing it around at Texas State this year. So I like him. Like, as soon as he made that announcement, whatever, a week ago, we made some mild adjustments. And that's basically where that average had him at. And with his experience, you know, no problem in that offense.
All right. So, Doug, do you think that Colorado has done enough for Shedeur Sanders? Last year, Colorado gave up the second most sacks in FBS. And if you watched any Colorado games, it wasn't just that Shedeur was getting sacked. It was like Shedeur was getting hit by semi trucks every time he was getting sacked. His offensive line was well documented to just be completely Swiss cheese. Do you think that their offensive line has done enough to warrant Shedeur being at number 11? And do you think he can be healthy the whole year?
I do. I think, dog problems. I think that Shedeur definitely has a revamped offensive line. They got a lot of people in the transfer portal. I think they got probably four former four-star recruits. And then they got LaJonte Wester and Will Shepard at receiver to go along with the receivers that stepped up for them already last year. But yeah, I think,
and with Travis Hunter, that was one of the harder ones to kind of project. Like, we don't know how much he'll play offense and go both ways again. So Wester was like a, whatever, 98 catch kind of guy. Will yeah. Shepard, incredible talent. Great. He'll be their best red zone threat. But yeah, also with Travis Hunter in there, kind of seeing where that happens. Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Your question just on a yes or no? Yes, I do. I think he deserves to be in the top 15 for sure.
I would say I don't know if the O-line is good enough. They're going to be better than last year. And
it can't be much worse.
They start out with North Dakota State, but then they go at Nebraska, at rival Colorado State. It's going to be a fun one. I think the middle of the year there, where they're playing UCF, I expect it to be a shootout. Arizona should be a shootout. Kansas State should be a shootout. Texas Tech. But then they get Utah. So there's a totally new conference at play this year, which would be different for them, obviously.
All right, so we're going to have to move this show along, but I do have two more questions for you about the quarterbacks. First, number 15, do you think Jalen Milroe – do you think that his position has been hurt or helped by the Saban retirement?
That's a tough, tough question. I don't know that the I like what Kalen DeBoer can do. I'll say that. Like, I like what he can do. I don't know if he's the prototype for a Kalen DeBoer offense, but he's an offensive guy. I think what you'll get more is some one-on-one, you know, shots down the field, down the sideline, like we saw a lot last year. The biggest question that we have is, who's it going to be? Because they've got their top two guys are kind of, 5'10"-ish. So we kind of expect to see an Alabama receiver or two break out, you know, that are maybe not as anticipated, like a Jordan Hale, Ryan Williams. I think we'll see some of those guys get some consistent shots down the field, depending on how they develop and practice. But yeah, Jackson Dart at 5, Nico Iamaliava at 6. I like those guys a lot. And it's going to be, you know, senior heavy outside of Byron Brown, senior junior heavy outside of Byron Brown, really up there.
All right, so I got one question for you guys. You knew I was going to call you out, and I'm not looking at stuff through red shaded glasses, but I got to scroll and I got to scroll and I got to scroll all the way down to 52 before I see Grayson McCall, who's going from Coastal Carolina over to NC State in there. What gives, fellas? What broke in the algorithm to put Grayson McCall at 52? I want you guys to justify this right now because I'm not happy.
I don't know that that's the right system for him, and I don't know that he'll last the whole year as the starter. That's kind of plain and simple for me. I don't have a lot of confidence that he's the right fit there. He could be good.
I mean, he's talented for sure. I just, again, like BMAC, I question the fit, to be honest.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the incredible number of weapons that they brought in through the portal, through their recruiting class. They brought in so many four-star wide receivers that some of them are converting to cornerback this year because there's no way they're all going to be able to play. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Having Conception alone, though, and having him develop could change everything. Like when you've got a go-to target that kind of becomes a balancing factor for your offense, like it could totally change everything, and McCall could be great. But things can shift. Maybe you'll hop in these meetings and sway us, so we'll see.
Hey, I don't want to sway just because I'm a fan. I looked at that and I'm like, man, I don't want to know how the algorithm is saying that they do not believe in that Wolfpack offense.
Yeah, I mean, it could be fun to get into some of the specifics, but I'm a stats nerd, data guy, so we'll see.
So let's move on over to running backs. I think running back is going to be a completely different discussion than we just had at quarterback, because a lot of the names at the top, especially in the top seven, are guys that were in the top seven for the entirety of last year. You're looking at Jenty, Ollie Gordon, Amarian Hampton, Ishmael Mahdi. Those guys were always in the top five of the rankings. What do you think about the way that running back has shown consistency? Obviously, every year there's going to be new names that jump to the top, which is part of college football. But to see so many names stay right there at the top that would have been in our weekly rankings last year, were you surprised that the numbers played out that way?
Not really, because when you look at the NFL draft, like outside of, you know, being a fan of a certain team, like if you're just an NFL fan, are you really excited about any of those running backs going in the draft? I think it's a weak draft class where, you know, there's certainly not any just first round picks coming out. So I guess I'm not all that surprised, to be honest. And a lot of these guys coming back are certainly proven, which is awesome. You know, there are questions, though. Like at North Carolina, there's going to be a quarterback change. Maybe that makes them lean more on Amarian Hampton. DJ Giddens with Avery Johnson, is he going to have that same percentage of run to pass? If so, Giddens is probably going to move down the list. So these are some of the questions that we'll just have to answer over time.
So, Doug, who do you see in that list? I mean, you could even go down to the top 25, a name that you are either surprised that they went so low in the initial rankings, or a name that you are impressed that they came out of nowhere to find themselves in the top 25.
I think Hughes from Tulane is a really potentially exciting person to watch at 16. He's one that I could see, you know, potentially being top 10 by the time the finish season is over, just because they're going through a crazy quarterback change, someone they relied on for years, and Michael Pratt, and Hughes has kind of been could potentially be the consistent person in that offense. So
yeah, freshman 1300 yards and 7 touchdowns last year.
So he's probably the one that sticks out to me the most that could be, again, top 10, slide in there by the end of the year for sure. And then the other one that BMAC and I have talked about a lot is RJ Harvey out of UCF. I expect big things from him this year for sure.
BMAC, you got any other thoughts you have about the guys in the top? I had a couple of names lower down the list that I want to throw at you guys as well.
Yeah, just as a talent alone, and you know, I think NFL potential, Darius Taylor, Cedric Baxter, those two guys are really incredible to watch. Like, you can just look at highlight videos of those two and kind of see why they're going to get the ball a ton this year. Just got to hope Darius Taylor is healthy and able to remain healthy. Donovan Edwards finally gets his crack as the starter. He's someone that we pinpointed, or everyone pinpointed as a big time freshman coming in. And he's been behind Corum, who's been fantastic. So we'll get to see him and potentially new look Michigan offense. We really don't know a ton there, but we have to assume they're going to still be run heavy with a quarterback that's coming in that, if it is who we have as quarterback one right now, it's going to be probably a more, he'll probably run the ball more than McCarthy did. Jordan James is one where there's a lot of landing spots for him. On average, Marquise Irving the last 2 years had 45 catches a year. The last 2 years, I think he went 50-something and 38 or whatever. Will Jordan James get as many looks out of the backfield from Dylan Gabriel? Will they mix it up with some of the younger guys? You feel pretty confident about him in the red zone, but the difference between him being, finishing 20th and him finishing 5th is how many catches he'll get. And of course, based on your fantasy scoring setup and PPR, but the Oregon offense is one that just intrigues me, and I can't wait to watch them.
So I'm gonna roll down the list again, find a couple of names that are lower down the list that I find surprising. 47, Ohio State, Travion Henderson. Did either of you ever expect Travion Henderson to show up at 47 in our first rankings this year?
Not until they got the transfer in Judkins, man. You hear a lot of things about Judkins wanting the ball, wanting this, getting, a little grumpy if he doesn't get it, things like that. And you've got to think quarterback in that situation too, who also will run the ball. So, I feel like Ohio State's one of those teams where there's not enough of the football to go around to these guys.
Yeah, that's precisely it. Yeah, you've got Will Howard, who had, 350-plus rushing yards last year, 9 rushing touchdowns. We don't know if that's going to continue with Ryan Day, but we kind of assume it kind of will. And then you've got those two great, great running backs. It's great for Ohio State fans. They're going to be amazing. But in terms of fantasy, it's hard to project. When you get in there and you're messing with the numbers, and that's where it's nice to have the numbers to play with this year. There's only so many points to go around. And you look at a Quinshon Judkins, who was running back one going into last year. Yeah, you'll probably find him in the, he'll probably get drafted in the, definitely as an RB4 or worse. It's going to be tough to draft those guys. It's kind of probably a stay away situation for me. Really similar to what might happen at Georgia. It's kind of Georgia's going to be really good, but they'll spread it around. It's probably going to be just stay away.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I got one last question on the running back side. For you guys, BMAC, did you have to buck your personal, internal, emotional feelings to even rank the player at number 50? Trevor Etienne, now the running back at Georgia, did it harm you deep in your soul to even include him in the top 500 after all the disrespect he's shown your beloved Gators?
It's a lot of disrespect. And there's no way to get around it. I definitely have a ton of feelings towards that situation, and I can't wait. I can wait to see what happens in the game. Let me not get ahead of myself here.
I can see the fume coming off the top of your head right now.
So like ETN, if he was RB1 and he was like guaranteed that top spot and like clearly gonna get RB1 type of carries, like he would be way up the list because he's super talented, quick to the hole, like great vision, good speed. He's got plenty of tricks when he's in the open field, and he's going to be playing behind a better O-line, and all that stuff is just true. I thought he would be higher. They just have, Kendall Milton returning and other really good talent behind him that they're going to want to get going, like Branson Robinson, if he's healthy. ETN, that move will burn forever for sure.
All right. So real quick, before we move on to wide receivers, if you are someone as a Florida fan that has ETN on your roster, are you trying to trade him just out of spite? Are you trying to get him off your roster so you don't have to root for him anymore after the nonsense he's been saying about your school? Or do you keep him in pursuit of a fantasy championship?
All I know is it's a straight jersey burn, bro. That's all I know.
my five or six-year-old at the time, he was not happy. ETN was his favorite player. And, maybe it was his second game that he went to, ETN had that like 88-yard touchdown run in the swamp. And since then, he's just been all about ETN. And then that happened. I told him, and he was like, the next night we were having a fire, he threw his ETN shirt in there, like unprovoked by me.
Training him young. I love it.
No, unprovoked, unprovoked. But yeah, that's a rough one. I'm not planning to trade him though. Like I'm in a spot where, he can pop up to my NFL squad in a year probably. So I'm not going to trade him. Now, if I'll listen, of course, if the trade is right, I'm not like just holding on to him forever, but yeah.
All right. Well, that being said, now that I've got you all wound up, now that I've got you all emotional, tears rolling down your face, let's go to something that's a lot less emotional and more clinical, the wide receiver list. So you go to the wide receiver list, and again, there's a couple of names in here.
This one's hard.
Yes, there's a couple of names in here that we've seen previously, but overall, because there's far more wide receivers that get a play in a game every game and do something solidified, and there's always so much changeover when it comes to wide receiver. What do you think was the most difficult part of putting this list together? Was it finalizing and going, is number one really number one? Is number two really number two? Or was it 25 should never be at 25 because that's too low?
I think it's more so with the receivers. I mean, first of all, I've been bashing my head against the table working on these guys for reasons of like, it helps me think better. So,
hey, it's better to go burn an ETN jersey than bash your head on the table. Okay, come on.
Yeah, but I think you kind of feel like you know who's going to be in the top at receivers. But it's more so like those guys like, okay, like B-Mac mentioned earlier, like does this new offensive coordinator who's never been a head coach before, does he call plays now? Does the new OC that has never been an OC call plays now? Weird things. You got defensive coordinators that move up to be a head coach. Does their offense change? Do they still use a slot receiver a lot? There's a lot to think about. Are they going to beat guys, down the field like Tennessee likes to do? Because their receivers always seem to be wide open, or there's so much to think about, but receivers is tough. But I still think you have a couple, like at number 10 with Adkins, who you feel like he's got that connection with Brown already. McMillan at number one, there's some guys, again, Luther Burden, Royals, there's guys that you're like, okay, yeah, these guys are going to be up there. But then after you get down to like 25, 30, it's like, man, you get to the point where it's like, there's a lot of coaches changes and it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if we go back to the Louisville example, Colin Lacey, we have right now at number 11, He was killing it last year. He ended with 91 catches, 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns for South Alabama. You know, a few more touchdowns, and he's up there, you know, pushing at the very top of the elite wide receivers in college fantasy. So he could do that again in Jeff Brohm's offense. But will it be Ja'Cory Brooks, who's a little bit bigger? You know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But Ja'Cory Brooks is kind of underwhelmed. Lacey's been really good in terms of fantasy production and has got better every season and is used to a high volume of passes. So we've got Colin Lacey right there at wide receiver one. And Ja'Cory Brooks is up there, but not quite as high. So it's one of those, like, it's a draft capital kind of thing. Like, same if you're if you're looking at Ohio State, right? You take Egbuka, who we have at 9th projected right now, versus Carnell Tate, who's 36. So it's gonna be. Like, if you're on the fence as to which one, like right now, like we just did a mock draft with Jared, whatever, a week ago. If you're doing a mock draft right now, I would probably lean towards taking the second guy, you know, if you're doing a best ball draft right now, because, you know, that value is probably going to be better if you're not really sure who's going to get the bulk of the touchdowns and catches.
All right, so interesting, because I'm familiar with a lot of the names here just from having them in different leagues last year. So very interesting to see Pafeli Ashlock from Hawaii at number 8, over top of an Emeka Egbuka at 9, over top of Colin Lacey, over top of Kevin Concepcion at 14. How do you think that the numbers projected Ashlock, who at times was really good last year for Hawaii, at times completely disappeared, over three guys that you wanted to have in your starting lineup every week in Egbuka and Lacey and Concepcion?
So, yeah, he did disappoint some. He, as a freshman last year, 83 catches, led the team, 832 yards, and 9 touchdowns, which is fantastic, obviously, jumping onto the scene kind of season. And then you've got Stephen McBride gone ahead of him. So that's 63 receptions, 1,000 yards and 9 more touchdowns available in an offense that you know is going to throw it around. So I love Ashlock. I think he'll get, you know, if he's healthy, he should easily get somewhere around, you know, 90 plus receptions, over 1,000 yards and over 10 touchdowns, which would put him, you know, right up there with the best of anyone else and maybe more in that offense.
All right, so what do you think about Will Shepard at 25 going to Colorado? Do you think he's going to be somebody that's going to really benefit that move going out there to Colorado?
Oh, that's another one like Louisville where it's really difficult to know. Is it Wester or is it going to be Shepard who gets a lot of the red zone looks? You have to think Shepard probably has the advantage because of his height and leaping ability. But then you've also got Travis Hunter. So that one's going to be tough. I kind of like when in doubt, kind of leaned on their production already, you know, with Wester having whatever he had, 98 catches last year, even though it was at a lower level of competition at FAU. You can see that kind of picking up and kind of doing what they did a little bit last year with their transfers that they used last year.
All right, so in the top 50, give me one guy in the top 50 for both of you guys that you think either the numbers put him a little bit lower than he should have been to start, or somebody that you're like, wow, I'm really surprised to see that guy even in the top 50 at all, and I'm really surprised he's at, say, 21 or whatever it may be.
Go ahead, B-Mac.
All right, let's see. So it's a tough one. Antoine Wells, Wells we've got there. Kyron Lacey we have up there. I don't know who that receiver one is going to be, if he'll step up in that LSU wide receiver one, or will it go to CJ Daniels, the transfer? So that'll get more solidified, I think, hopefully during spring ball. But we bumped him down a bit because we project a little bit less out of that offense. Obviously, you got the Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels, probably a top three pick in the draft, with Nussmeier getting his first start at LSU, or his first like full season as the starter. I mean, that's one that is up there, but maybe could be even better. Like if Lacey or CJ Daniels really takes off as wide receiver one for LSU. So I could see one of those guys kind of finishing in the top 25-ish, but they're a little bit low right now.
What about you, Doug?
For me, I think it's Nick Anderson from Oklahoma that potentially is a high riser, or, you know, low faller, I guess, for lack of a better term. You kind of don't know with Gabriel being gone. You know what that offense likes to do. You know, Venables kind of seems to do it every year with them, but Jackson Arnold is potentially a stud quarterback, but we don't know. He made some great throws in the bowl game and made some throws that you're like, ooh, I don't know about that. But again, it was his first, you know, real test. But Nick Anderson is one that could move up and could move down. Right now, he's kind of on the cusp of our top 50, and we'll see what happens there. I mean, I know he is a receiver that seems to – it's like his – based on his numbers, every other catch is a long touchdown. I mean, so we'll see what happens.
All right, so we're going to move over to tight ends. We'll take a quick look at tight ends before we wrap it up here for the day. So tight ends, more than any of the other lists, the top of the list are Ronde Gadsden II, Jurecek, Lachey, Keithe, RJ Maryland. Those guys were all at the top of the list, not the number one guy, but those were all guys that were talked about in the top 10 prior to injuries all year. Why do you think there's so much consistency at that position right now this year in fantasy as compared to all the other positions?
It's really simply to me that we just have returning production. Like last year it was Bowers, and it was supposed to be Keithy and Bowers and everyone else kind of. And then Keithy gets hurt and now he's back again. It's just a lot of returning production. Pretty simple. I think that'll kind of dictate how drafts go. But we have one guy far and away. If he's like able to be drafted as a tight end, Ronde Gadsden is like leagues above everyone else. Like he's on a tier of his own.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he comes back from that injury, see if that injury has any effect on him and his production whatsoever.
Yeah.
Doug, is there anybody that is a new name that's not someone that we talked about for the last year or so that is in that top 15 or 20 or so on the tight ends that really has you excited right now for the fantasy season upcoming?
Well, I think, the first one that sticks out to me is the transfer from Alabama to Texas in Nyblack. I think, they're not really missing a beat with Sanders being gone with Nyblack there. The only issue that you could potentially see is, again, we've mentioned this with other teams, like not enough football to go around with all the 7,050 players that transferred to Texas this year. So, but Nyblack to me, in my opinion, could even be better than Sanders was based off, you know, just watching a little bit of film of him, and he's a really good blocker too. Just an overall tight end, I think, could be a lot better. So
yeah, it's kind of a logjam, really, between after you get past Keithy and Maryland. It's like, you know, a touchdown here, a touchdown there could change everything in terms of where players are slotted. But yeah, this is, you know, based on, you know, teams that use these tight ends or these players really well. Interested to see how Georgia does manages Delp and Jurecek, and they've got two other guys, Lawson Lucky and someone else, who are like super, super talented and would be starting on almost any other team. But I think Jurecek might go into more of the Bowers role. and they'll still heavily use two tight ends, I think. So we've got both of those guys as top 16 tight end targets in 2024.
All right. So with this being the first preseason drop of rankings, obviously in the regular season, we're going to be having new rankings every week. We're going to have some potential updates happening even daily if they're warranted. When do you foresee putting out another set of rankings? Because this is not something that's realistic for you to be like, we're going to update this every single week, because there's not a lot of stuff going on in the off season. When do you expect the next set of rankings to come out?
So real quick though, this is something honestly that we are updating a lot, because one thing that Brian and I thought was over and obviously is not, is it seems like these players can transfer whenever the heck they want now. So it's like every day I pull up Twitter or something, I'm like, oh, this guy's leaving now. Okay. So they do get updated a lot, but yeah, we'll see. So
it's connected to our live, like everything's connected. So they will, well, you know, if you log in, if you're a subscriber, if you go to Draft Prep, Draft Central, this is where you can access these standard rankings. So we'll have, I mean, it's a work in progress. So like all the changes that we make as we make them, you'll see them updated on all of these sheets. So as we go in and, you know, change the depth chart around, if we change a projection for a certain position based on some information, or someone gets hurt and then we change the depth chart, whatever, that's all happening live. Like you'll see it all as a member. You get it all immediately. We have nothing, you know, teaser rankings or anything like that. We need to get those out. But as far as for the members, this is all available and will be updated live.
And BMAC, that's a good point that you just brought up. This is all member-based information. If you're somebody that just happens upon the CFBDynasty.com website, you've never logged in before, you're not a member, you're not going to see the rankings that we just looked at right now. You're going to see the page, and it's going to ask you to sign in. So that is one of the benefits. If you want to get a leg up on your competition, you want to get a leg up on your league, you want to be able to start seeing how things are going to flow out in spring games, who the guys are that you want to keep your eyes on, you're going to want to become a subscriber to CFB Dynasty, have it from now all the way through the season. Doug, what do you think about that? Do you think it's going to benefit people out there to become a subscriber to CFB Dynasty right now?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Brian mentioned it earlier, and we're all, you know, fantasy football nerds kind of, and we're waiting for our rankings to be done before we kind of really start finalizing our draft boards, and we've been doing this for years. So yeah, for sure it's going to benefit 100%.
I mean, there's a lot of people that want to wait until you know, the end of the summer and whatever, but for me, like, I'm ready to get those football feels in now, and I love when spring ball comes around. I love everything around the NFL draft, and this just enhances it. So me and Mike Davis were, you know, going back and forth on a potential trade between our pro and college team. And then, you know, I'll use these rankings. Certainly once I have the projections all done, we'll use them as great information to be able to make an educated choice on, you know, players that I want to target in a trade in the off season or whatever. But it's that time. I'm so ready for some spring ball.
All right. So if you guys are out there watching this video, whether you're watching on a Facebook share or on YouTube, we want you to like and subscribe and make sure you're helping to share this around. But most importantly, we want you to go and join our Discord channel so that that way we can talk. So that that way, if you've got information that you want to provide to us that we can utilize, because you know what, there's 135 FBS teams and we can't go get every bit of information. You might have a team that you follow. You might have some inside info that might be able to help us out. We also want to make sure that you guys are getting excited. It's a ways off, but last year we did a huge 24-team CFB Dynasty Open League. It was great. We have big plans for that this year, but we're going to need you to come and join us and see if you can beat me and Doug and BMAC. You might be able to beat Doug. You definitely can beat BMAC. But I don't know if you're going to be able to take me on this year.
will Uncle Joe go back to back in the playoffs?
We will see. That is the question. Like, I think that has to be a side bet. So,
All right. So B-Mac, Doug, any other words you want to say before we head on out of here for today after this first show of the 2024 preseason leading up to the summer's eventual drafts?
Not really, just confessions. Like, I've been terrible at the Discord. Haven't really done much in there. I've just been, again, put all my time available into the rankings and all the data collection and putting everything together. So I just got to get better, honestly, about doing that. I've sucked also at social media. This is a therapy session now.
Hey, I'm blaming this on Trevor Etienne, man. He made you hate college football for a little bit.
So all my work has been behind the scenes. I need to do a better job sharing and putting out some of the content on the socials better, and certainly on the Discord. But work to be done, as well as the podcast. We got to get our rhythm back. We've got so many shows that we're behind on, and it's all my fault.
Well, I hope you guys are also happy about the fact that my connection is not as bad as it was last year. I apologize for that. Finally, I've taken some steps in this offseason to improve that, so that way you will not have me and B-Mac and Doug talking over each other because of connection delays. That was all my fault, and I take full responsibility for that, but definitely have addressed that. So, Doug, what was your fault, and what have you fixed now that me and B-Mac have already been on the therapy?
My fault was just not being better at holding you guys accountable. But yeah, for sure, the Discord. I mean, for a while there, I was chatting with people a lot. And I totally just dropped off after the season ended. That's something that I want to make a goal to keep going year round, because there is stuff that happens in college football year round. So I definitely want to make sure that, you know, we all keep talking to each other and that CFB doesn't lose its luster, man. For sure.
We've got some fun stuff coming up with the mock draft we were in. We got to share that out and do a show on that. And that'll be a fun, probably next show. We've got the annual, like, all time college fantasy rankings, where I've got the data back to 1980 in a database where we'll be able to, I've got to import the data from this past season, and then we'll see where the top performers from last year slotted in. And it's always fun where you've got whatever, you know, a Barry Sanders or, you know, Fred Taylor, Danny Werfel, all these names that you grew up watching. That kind of stuff is kind of fun to see where, you know, Randy Moss, I think he was like two seasons in the top 13 or something like that. But good stuff coming out here really soon. So I'm excited to get that built and then cut it up with you guys on the show.
And you know what? I think that we just kind of gave ourselves our first call to action on the Discord. It's March 4th. What do you want to do a little bit better that you didn't get to do in 2023 as you go into 2024? If you're somebody that's on the Discord, you're watching this, go up there on the Discord and let's talk about it. What is something that you wish that you could do better in 2024? Obviously, everybody except for people like maybe Doug that won championships is going to say, I want to put together a championship team.
Yeah, better running backs for me.
Yeah, what are the things that you want to do better? What are the things that you want to improve on? Let's talk about it on the Discord. So there's your call to action in the show. Go to the Discord. Let's participate in this. Let's see what you guys got.
Love it. Love it. Well, that's great. I look forward to any of the responses we get in there. You guys can help us get it back going.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so B-Mac, Doug, unless you guys have anything else you want to say, my name is Matt Knowles. I'm here alongside B-Mac, Brian McKelfrish, and Doug Dynasty, Doug Gravely. We thank you guys for coming out today and watching the first episode of the 2024 preseason for CFBDynasty.com. We can't wait to have another one of these. See you guys.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the CFB Dynasty podcast. Help us out by subscribing on YouTube and reviewing us on your podcast network.